O Lord, we are your children. Give us faith to receive your grace and love fully in our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thus far in this sermon series about the church, we've seen that the church is a Eucharistic community, meaning all that we do and all that we are is rooted in the way in which God brings us together, nourishes us in grace, places before us the story of salvation, and summons us to follow Jesus in the way of the cross. That's a very short summary of four sermons. And so if you've missed any of them so far, I would encourage you to read or listen to them online. Today, the question is, what is faith? You've just got to have faith, they say. My faith is what got me through that ordeal, she says. Faith is what saves you, he contends. Faith, it seems then, is really important. But what is faith? Clearly, faith is not something that we can hold. It's not an object. And I don't think that we want to say that faith is about our thoughts either, because that would mean that people with intellectual disabilities or dementia cannot have faith because they are not able to have these supposedly faithful thoughts. And if faith were just about our thoughts, we wouldn't really need Jesus, now would we? If faith was just about thinking the right things, Scripture would tell us what to think. But we have all experienced that faith is often the most robust when we come to the end of answers and experience something that is bigger and grander than us. In other words, if faith can be captured by our limited minds, then it's really not worth it. Faith comes from a word that is about loyalty, honesty, confidence, trust, and allegiance. The Latin for this word is fides, which is where we get our word fidelity. And perhaps fidelity would be a better word to use instead of faith to remind us what it's really all about. We talk about the importance of fidelity in a marriage, which is a way of saying that commitment and loyalty are central to a faithful marriage. We talk about recordings that are high fidelity, meaning the audio is true to the original. Faith is not about our thoughts on the validity of certain positions. Rather, faith is an orientation and a trust. When couples promise to be faithful to one another, they are not promising to wake up every morning and believe that the other person exists. That would be ridiculous. And yet, when it comes to God and religion, that's exactly what we have reduced faith to meaning. So as we talk about faith, we have to get past the idea that faith is just another way of saying opinion when it comes to matters of religion. Faith is a commitment to, a trust in, and a prioritization of all that is good and true and beautiful. And for a description of what faith looks like when it is expressed in a human life, I want to turn, as Jesus does, to children. In today's gospel text from Mark, when the disciples were arguing about which was the greatest, Jesus sat down, assuming the posture of a teacher, and said, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And then he took a little child and hugged it and said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Furthermore, in the next chapter of Mark, Jesus says, "For it is to children that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Children show us how to have faith. If Jesus puts children at the center, perhaps the church ought to learn from this example. We do not fund children and youth ministries because we want the church to have a future, although certainly we do. Rather, we need children present and active now so that the church has a presence. Whether it is in formation, worship, music, or service, we need children with us and among us because Jesus himself has told us that in welcoming them, we welcome God and that the kingdom belongs to them. The more we can welcome children and families into the church, the clearer the kingdom becomes. Perhaps more than any other society, we value children. And this is not a bad thing. We see children as being sweet, cute, innocent, inspiring, full of potential and imagination. So many parents make sacrifices for their children in driving them to and from recitals and practices, in spending Saturdays doing family outings, in setting aside money for college. And this is unique throughout history. For Jesus' hearers, and for most of the people who have ever read Scripture since then, children were not at the center of the family's life. Children were seen on the same level as slaves, people who had no standing, no autonomy, no dignity, and very little, if any, respect. Now, this is not because people before us were not as enlightened as we are or anything like that. For one, child mortality rates used to be much, much higher than they are today. Children dying was simply a brutal fact of life. And so pinning our hopes and dreams and futures on a single person didn't make much sense when we weren't even sure that that person was going to make it to adulthood. The Old Testament makes it clear, though, that children are gifts and blessings from God. It's not that children were not loved or valued. It's just their status was as low as it gets. And this radically changes the tone of Jesus' admonition to welcome children. Jesus is not seeing a little child and saying, "Oh, look how cute he is. Come, let me see that little baby." No, he's saying, "Welcome those who are vulnerable, to those you would otherwise overlook, to those who are not highly regarded, to those who cannot contribute a single thing." It is a direct rebuttal to the disciples bickering over which of them was the greatest. In other words, don't try to climb the ladder because the kingdom is on the ground floor. So when it comes to faith, we can say that it is childlike in the sense that it is humble. Faith acknowledges that we are dependent and needy children, and we need our loving and heavenly Father to provide for us. These days, we put so much emphasis on independence, autonomy, and self-determination, we've essentially pushed God out of the picture, saying, "I don't need a parent. I can do that myself." But children know that they are dependent. They don't deny it. Children are their most joyful. They're freest, they're most childlike, when they are confident that their parents are watching over them, loving them, supporting them, and nourishing them. And it's the same for us. When we put our confidence not in ourselves, but in God's provision for us, we find a childlike faith. The sort of faith that is commended to us by Jesus is rooted in humility. Now, being humble does not mean thinking badly of yourself. Rather, humility is about recognizing our place before God. And children help us to see not the weakness of being dependent, lowly, and needy, but rather the blessings that come when we trust and rely on God, the Father and Mother of us all. Faith, as Jesus suggests in this passage, is about welcoming. He makes it clear that when we welcome a child, we are welcoming not only him, but the one who sent him. Far too often, though, we treat faith as an individual action, something either I do or do not do. We think faith is what we do when we meditate, or read scripture, or say prayers, or have personal thoughts about God. And this is not to say that faith does not include those things, but faith is so much bigger than this. I've been saying it a lot recently because it is a message that the American church in particular needs to hear and be challenged by. Faith is always in the plural. It is not about me and Jesus. Faith is about us and Jesus. And Jesus makes it quite clear, if we are to receive him, we have to welcome others. Not others who can do a favor for us, not others who will give us a promotion, not others who have influence, but we are to welcome the voiceless, the overlooked, the forgotten. And this is a point that we so easily miss. Jesus does not tell us to welcome the lowly, people like children, because Jesus just feels so bad for them and doesn't like it when we leave them out. No, it's because Jesus himself was one of the lowly, one of the overlooked, one of the rejected. Lest we forget, Jesus was condemned as a criminal and publicly executed in the most horrific and dehumanizing way that anyone back then could come up with, crucifixion. Howard Thurman has a book called Jesus and the Disinherited, and this is one of the central points in this book. Yes, of course, Jesus cares about the poor and the marginalized and wants us to also care for them, but Jesus does not say to welcome the lowly from a place where he is high and mighty, but rather from a place of lowliness. Simply put, when we welcome the lowly, we welcome Jesus, not as a reward for caring about the lowly, but because Jesus is the lowly, the disinherited, the tossed aside. As the 4th century church father St. John Chrysostom put it, if you cannot find Jesus in the beggar at the church door, you will not find him in the chalice. So faith is always about welcoming, about having a posture of openness instead of being closed. And when Jesus says that only those who receive the kingdom as a child will enter it, he's talking about grace. By definition, children have not earned anything, which is why it is so proper and fitting to baptize children. We fool ourselves when we say that only adults or maybe teenagers are ready for baptism, but somehow babies are not. If anything else, baptizing babies reminds us that none of us have earned salvation. None of us have deserved mercy, but rather it is always the gift of grace given to us out of God's abundant love for us, even before we had any idea of asking for it. Again, when we make faith about what we think and what we say, we leave behind this message of grace. And children so clearly help us to understand that through and through, faith is about grace. Faith is an orientation to and a trust in the wonderful and amazing gift that we've been given. We are loved by God, we are forgiven, and we are saved. And this is not our doing, but through the gracious love of Jesus Christ. And because we did not earn God's love, it means that we cannot lose it. Because we did not ask for our salvation, it means that nothing we do can ever take it away. Because forgiveness is not our reward for doing something, it means that nothing that we do or do not do can ever separate us from God. Just think about how much time we waste trying to prove ourselves to the man or the woman in the mirror, to our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our competition. We waste so much time worrying what other people think about us, when the truth is, most people do not think about us most of the time. But God, who loves us far more than we can ask or imagine, always has us in mind. And if that was the truth that we put our confidence, our hope, our faith in, just imagine how different our world might be. Understanding faith through the lens of grace makes us thankful. If there is nothing that we have to do in order to deserve, earn, or keep God's love, then it means that we are free to actually use our salvation and enjoy our forgiveness. Life is not a test to see who will be proven right, or who can amass the most wealth, or who will build the biggest following or be the most famous. No, life is a gift to be enjoyed. Life is the canvas on which the story of love is woven. Jesus tells us that he came to give us abundant life. Faith is simply receiving this gift as a child with awe, wonder, and gratitude. When was the last time that you laughed like a child? Played like a child? Trusted like a child? That is what faith is all about. Living in the freedom that comes from knowing that our loving Father will take care of us. Faith is not about our religious thoughts. Faith, as Jesus commends it to us, is best seen in children. Faith flourishes in the low places. Perhaps that's why children spend so much time on the floor and playing in the dirt. They know something that we have forgotten about lowliness. Faith is about openness and welcoming others, because faith is always ours, held in common. And faith is a gift of grace, a way of living in the trust, confidence, and loyalty to know that God, who as our loving Father, wants nothing more than for us to live as children. And if we could do that, we would find the abundant life intended for us. When Isaiah prophesied that a little child shall lead them, that was not a metaphor. The Son of God came to show us what faith is all about: knowing, trusting, and living as if God really does provide for us as a mother and love us as a father.